Our scripture today comes from Corinthians. It says, I will visit you through the passing of Macedonia. I love Pastor Joe. Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you and even spend the winter, so that you may speed me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now, just passing. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But if I stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door and effective work will open to me, and there are many adversities. This be the word. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. Amen. It's so good to be with you. So good to see so many faces and see people that hadn't been here in a while. It's so great to have you with us today. Love you. And I'm not going to start to call people out by name because I will definitely get in trouble if I do that. But I see you, and I'm just so glad to see each and every one of you that are here today. I want to share with you a story that happened 25 years ago. 25 years ago, I was downtown at the library. And I had some stuff to do at the library downtown. I got out of the library, and I go to my car, which was in the parking lot of the library, pull my keys out, stick my keys in my car, and they don't work. I'm like, what in the world? I'm trying every door. It's not working at all. I don't know what happened to the keys, but I have to be at a meeting. And I look up, and I remember, I said, Lord, help me. So I look up, and I say, Lord, help me. As my eyes go back down, I notice that I left the sunroof open. Right? So I'm thinking to myself, praise the Lord, here's an answer. I'm 25 years old at the time, so I have no shame, no problem. I jump up on the hood of the car, I slide in through the sunroof, and I'm like hanging upside down. Well, the title of this message of sermons is That's What We Do. So the reason I'm telling you this story is the next time you get locked out of your car, I want you to jump up on the hood, Dukes of Hazzard style, and climb in through the sunroof because that's what we do. No, I'm just teasing. That's not the reason I'm telling that story at all. Here's the real reason I'm telling that story. I'm trying to make a point here that when God closes a door, God always opens a what? A window. When God closes a door, God always opens a what? A window, a sunroof. All right, that's right. God always opens a sunroof. What does that mean to you when you hear that? Let me share some of the things it means to me. Number one, it means that God knows the desires of our hearts. It also means that sometimes God says no. God closes the door. But it also means that God oftentimes redirects us to another opportunity that gives him glory. That's the open window. That's the opportunity that God avails to us. And you know, not only does this happen with us as children of God, but it even happens in our own lives as we deal with our own children. Because this is what I find. I find that we have our children, and they're babies, and they're so wonderful, they're so beautiful, and in our minds, no child is as special, as beautiful as our own child. Every other child pales in comparison to our wonderful, beautiful, kind child until they turn 18 months. And they're with another child who has a toy in their hand, and your child will grab that toy at 18 months and say what word? Mine. But you didn't say it right. He didn't say, mine, mine. How does he say it? Mine, right? And all of a sudden, you've got a choice there. As a parent, you can either let that child have what he wants, you can say no, or you can redirect them to something different, right? You can show them a different way, redirect them to something that shares and involves them in being a part of something that's together. And I want to make that my purpose of today's message. I want to talk to us as children of God and how important it is for us to be involved in mission. And I just don't want to just say mission, though, because there's a lot of things that we just do as mission, and they're all great. But can I take one more step? Can I call it risk-taking mission? Can you say that with me? Risk-taking mission. Risk-taking mission is a little bit different. Last week, we talked about two different mindsets, and I'm just going to give you a reminder about it. The first one was the scarcity mindset, and that's where we look at what we've got. God provides for us, we consume it all, and then we worry. God provides, we consume it all, and we say, there's never enough, I never have enough, and then we worry. And it's kind of this endless cycle. And then we looked at the abundant cycle, where God provides, and instead of just consuming, that mentality, the first mentality is we give, we share, we go out, we're in ministry together. We instead of just focus all on ourselves first, we give back to God. And then that leads to us trusting God more. God continues to provide, we continue to give, and we continue to trust in God. Those are two completely different mindsets. And here's what I want to say is, I want us to dig a little bit deeper, and I want us to understand that when it comes to both the scarcity and the abundance mindset, they both begin in the mind and not the wallet. Let me say it again. They both begin in the what? The mind and not the wallet. I don't care if you open up your wallet. I don't care if there's nothing in it or if there's just tons of money in it. You could still be in either one of those cycles, because it's all about how you choose to see the world, how you choose to look at it. And I want to emphasize that word choose, because it's a choice. We can either choose to live in the abundance that God provides us, or we can choose to live in a scarcity mindset. And it doesn't matter how much money you got at all. You all know about Scrooge, right? Remember Scrooge? Scrooge had all this money, right? But he was still living in that scarcity. I'm afraid of what I might lose. That's a little 18-month-old. I don't care how many toys they've got. That one toy that someone else has got, it's mine. And that's living in that mindset of I've got to have, I've got to control, instead of first looking at it and saying, okay, how can I give? How can I be a part of sharing? It says this in Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. As you think in your mind, as you make that choice about which way you're going to look at the world, so you are. Our thoughts, our words, our attitudes, they all point back to how we choose to see. Do we see that there's just too little of things, or do we see the abundance of what God has provided for us? I want to look at two scriptures that help to illustrate this. And the first one is our scripture from 1 Corinthians. And thank you again, Jesse, for reading that with me. I threw those words on him, Macedonia and Ephesus and all that kind of stuff, right before he got up there. But here's the ending. It says this. Paul's talking, and he's saying, instead of going out and hanging out with you all, I'm going to stay here in Ephesus, and here's the reason why. For a wide door for effective work has what? Open to me. And then he goes on to say, and there are many what? Adversaries. So I think it's interesting that he's saying, I want to come spend some time with you, but I need to stay here. And there's two reasons why. Wide door, effective work, ministry that's available to me. But then there's also many adversaries. And I think that really in life, this is how we live. There's opportunities, and then there's adversaries as well. And the question is, what are we going to focus on? When I talk about risk-taking ministry here at Lawrence United Methodist Church, guess what? Man, I should have said this before. No matter what ministry we're going to take on, no matter what we're going to do, there is always going to be adversaries. There's always going to be problems. Reverend, man, I don't know why I'm missing his name, Jeffrey Johnson said this in a sermon once. He said, at every level, there's a new devil. I really love that. That's right on time. At every level, there's a new devil. And at every ministry, at everything that we do, there's going to be a new adversary, a new devil, a new challenge that we have to face. And I think that it's good to go in that with a mindset that there's going to be problems and there's going to be issues. Let me just shout out some of the problems or issues that we faced in ministry here. So we've been robbed. We've been cursed out. We've had people con us. We've had people try to abuse our kindness. And even though we've got 9 doors around this church, guess what? 3 different times people have run their cars into the church building, right? I don't understand that. We'll open all the doors for you, but they keep running their cars in. I'm going to tell you something. at every ministry, at every opportunity, there's always going to be adversity. There's always going to be a problem. But here's the question. What does Paul focus on? He says, there's a wide door of effective work open to me, and there's also many adversities. What is Paul choosing to focus on? There were two shoe salesmen that were sent to an Aborigine tribe in Australia. And they both go and they both write back letters to the home office. And the first one writes this: don't send any more shoes. It's pointless. There's no opportunities here. These people don't even wear shoes. The second person writes back to the home office: send all the shoes you can. Guess what? We're the first ones here. They don't have any shoes at all yet. It's all a choice. How do you choose to look at it? What's going to be the mindset that you have? Because here's one thing that I do know. We are always going to have problems. We're always going to have challenges in our lives. If we thought that we were all alone, then it would make sense to just focus on our problems. If we thought it was all up to us, then maybe it would make sense to just focus on our problems. But the truth is, we are not alone, because Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And the Bible goes on to say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's right. And so we're not alone. Let me give you the other scripture that helps to go with this mindset. It's the feeding of 5,000. Jesus has been preaching. The people have been enjoying it. They're not going home. And the disciples come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is a great sermon and all, but you need to send the people home so that they can get some food for themselves, right? And Jesus turns the tables and he says, no, you feed them. And all of a sudden the disciples are like, but Jesus, do you know how much that would cost? And they're worried about how much it was cost. Jesus asks a different question. His focus is somewhere else. His question is, what do you have? Well, boy offers up five loaves and two fish. And so here we see two completely different people in the same situation with completely different mindsets. And the disciples see five loaves and two fish, and they say it's not enough. It's laughable about how little this is compared to how great our need is. And there might be some of us that are right there right now. We're thinking, Pastor, this sounds like great, okay, but if you only knew my situation, if you only knew how little I had, it's laughable. Don't you know my car is broken? Don't you know the medical bills that I've got? Don't you know the adversaries that are all around me? And I don't want to in any way placate or make fun of or say what you're going through is small or little. I'm not saying that at all. It's real, and every single one of us go through that. But what I am challenging is, what mindset do you face those problems with? Because guess what? If you face that with a mindset of scarcity that says, you know what, I don't have enough, I'll never have enough, this and that, this will be a mindset that you look at problems for over and over and over again. It'll become a pattern in your life. And therefore, there's never the right time to get married. There's never the right time to have kids. There's never the right time to do ministry. There's never the right time to go on a mission trip. There's never the right time to start tithing. Why? Because of problems. Well, guess what? Problems will always be in our lives. We'll always have adversity. But Jesus, instead of looking at it through the eyes of scarcity, he looks through the eyes of abundance. Jesus looks at the same situation, and to let me fast forward to the end, all 5,000 people are fed, but not just that. They also have how many baskets of leftovers? 12 baskets of leftovers. Scarcity asks this question: how much can I afford? But abundancy asks this question: what do I have? What do I have? And there is a reason. Because there's always more of what you have, because it comes not from you, it comes from God. If it was all up to you, then yes, let's look through scarcity. But if we truly believe that it comes from God, then those are the eyes that we need to look through. So here's one thing that I am always amazed at, is when there's a tragedy that happens, a tornado, a hurricane, or a wildfire, and people's homes and possessions are destroyed. And then just a few hours later, a journalist comes up and sticks a microphone in front of them and a camera in front of them, right? They're still soaking wet. There's still ashes all in their hair. They've lost everything. How do you feel? And I am shocked and amazed every time when I hear people say this. The house is gone, but we can build another house. The car is gone, but we can get another car. I'm just thankful for my family. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, how did they get such incredible, strong faith all of a sudden? How did it happen? I mean, what caused that faith for them to have? You know, it might even be a situation like Sharon was saying. Father didn't even go to church. The people weren't even involved in church, and yet all of a sudden they get this incredible faithful moment. They give this witness in front of thousands or millions right after a tragedy. And here's what I come to realize: the faith grows in the midst of the trial. It's the trial that produces the faith and the strength that God has provided this, and that God can do the same again. And all of a sudden, I realize that my life, all the things that I'm focused on, maybe I needed to be redirected. It's not all just about me, but it's about what God is able to do in me and through me. We have a fund called the Good Samaritan Fund here at the church, and we help people who are in need. And a lot of times when we help people in need, here's what they'll say. Say, I can't wait until the day when I get financially all together, when I get my feet on the right path, and then I'll be able to help somebody else out like you helped me out. I hear it all the time. One day when things are better and there's not this financial burden on me, I'll be able to help someone else. That sounds great. That sounds good. But let me just tell you about a different person who responds. There's a guy who's a member of our church. His name was Jeff Rydens. And Jeff Rydens, he chose to respond a different way. So Jeff was, at a period of his time, homeless and living downtown. And Jeff's homeless in downtown, and they're doing a race downtown, and it was to fight homelessness. And so runners and participants came out, and they gave out coats and hats and gloves to the people that were homeless there, right? And so Jeff received a coat, the hat, and the gloves. This happened during the wintertime. And he's really excited, and he thinks it's so neat that these people have come to help and to give. And he was staying right by where the start line was, right? So in his excitement, he decides that he's going to join the runners in the race to end homelessness, right? And so they start running, and Jeff runs with them, right? Well, what happens is that as the runners begin to get warmer, and as they run, they begin to take off their own coats and their own physical hats and gloves, and then hand it out to the people that are homeless there, not just the stuff that they brought. And so Jeff is running with them, and what do you think Jeff does as they start taking off their own coat and hat and gloves? Jeff takes off the coat he just received and the hat and the glove and gave it to the homeless people and is running this race. Now, I don't know if Jeff was more excited about receiving, giving, or just running. I don't have any idea of that. But Sharon told that story at his funeral, and I thought, you know what? That mindset of abundance defines him. And I'm wondering, what defines you? How do you see the world? Is it going to be one day when there's never any more problems in my life? Well, guess what? Is that one day going to happen? No! We're all going to have problems. But what is it if we were to start now? Even in the midst of our challenges, even in the midst of our problems, and saying, you know what, God has blessed me, even as others have blessed me and used God to bless me. And there's a door of opportunity that I have in my life. I don't know what your door of opportunity might be. But think about not how much is this going to cost or can you afford this, but what do you have? Think about this. What do you have
that God might be redirecting you. And instead of you saying, mine, and holding on so tight, that God might be saying, hey, here's an opportunity for you to take a risk. Yep, guess what? You might get cursed out. Who knows what might happen? But we're going to take a leap of faith. We're going to take a risk. Because that's who we are. And because that's who we've been called to be. So here I am at the library. I had just jumped on the car. I had just slid headfirst through the sunroof into the car. And I felt a little funny. And then I realized maybe it's not me that feels a little funny. The car felt a little funny. The steering wheel didn't seem right. And the seats weren't quite right. And all of a sudden, I realized what? I was in the wrong car. Now, hold up. Risk-taking ministry will push you out of your comfort zone, right? Things might feel a little funny. Things might not look the way you wanted them to feel. God might call you to be involved with some people you had no anticipation of spending time with. And yet, whenever we're involved in risk-taking ministry, we are exactly in the right place. Amen.